homes are broken by divorce for every one that's broken by death. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about our million-plus annual divorce decrees. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast. Facts which affect you. You know, friends, it's a statistical fact that in the United States today, one in every two marriages is ending in divorce. We're living in a sick society, a society infected by the germs of filth that are being shown in movies, television, and hundreds of books and magazines, and also being taught in our schools. Marriages by the millions are frustrated and terribly unhappy. They seem to be literally ripping apart at the seams. Perhaps the saddest aspect of the situation is the pathetic spectacle of an estimated 3 million-plus American children of divorced parents. America's families are in trouble, trouble so deep and pervasive as to threaten the future of the nation. And that's what one authority to the White House Conference on Children had to say. Can the family survive? Students in rebellion, the young people living in communes, unmarried couples living together, these all call into question the very meaning and structure of the stable family unit. Other people warn, no society has ever survived after its family life deteriorated. Marriage, the basis of the family relationship, may be a great blessing, or of course, it can be a terrible torment, depending on the attitude of the two people who enter into it. Somebody asked a man this question, "Do you think life is worth living?" And the man replied, "It depends on the liver." And in holy matrimony, there are two livers to contend with. Success is by no means automatic, as the figures on our growing divorce rates indicate. Fully 50 to 75% of all teenage marriages end in divorce within 5 years, friends, believe it or not. The younger a person marries, the greater his or her chances of marital failure. And to confound the problem, about half of all American brides are teenagers. Now, if and when their marriage fails, it will end as one of the million divorces. In fact, a little over a million divorces that occur every year in the United States. And they'll join the millions of other divorced Americans. In our country, two homes are broken by divorce for every one that's broken by death. We have the highest divorce rate in the world. In the past 75 years, divorces have increased 5 times faster than the statistical rate of marriages. The problem, of course, is not new. Jesus was asked a question on the subject in his day. His disciples came and said, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Matthew 19:3. And his answer is very, very important to us today. Jesus said, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave a father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Matthew 19:46. Now here's the basic Christian ideal on which home and family are founded, friends. Two joined by God as one in a lifelong union. Some of the sweetest words in our language cluster around the thoughts of home, sweet home. Words like mother, father, brother, sister, love, security. But unfortunately, home for millions has lost this warm, reassuring ring. As modern ways of living lead youth and many not so young away from this old-fashioned center, the home, life becomes more and more eccentric. One young woman put it this way. She says, "Why do I need a home? I don't need a home. I was born in a hospital, educated in a college, courted in an automobile, married by a justice of the peace, lived out of a delicatessen, paper bags and tens. I spend my mornings at the golf club, my afternoons at the bridge club, my evenings at the movies. When I die, I'll be buried from a funeral parlor. All I really need is a garage." Well, you know, that's almost literally true for some people in this mixed-up age of ours, friends. But home was never meant to be just a place to eat and sleep and keep one's clothes. When it becomes this, disaster's on the doorstep. There are many who feel that the breakdown of home and family life is the most alarming trend in our modern society. And a thing as deadly and even more so in the long run than the atom. It's a sign of the times. Jesus said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17:28-30. Now Sodom and Gomorrah in the Scriptures are used as a symbol of immorality and erotic sexual behavior. In 2 Peter 2:6-7, Peter says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So friends, impurity, marital unfaithfulness, homosexuality, those were characteristics of Sodom, and part of what Peter called their filthy conversation. Now the meaning of the word conversation in the King James Version is not limited to talk at all, but it means literally manner of life or conduct. Triangle love affairs are responsible for the breakup of many family circles. Some time ago, a man arrived home from work late in the afternoon to find only his children at home. When he asked concerning the mother's whereabouts, one stated that she had gone with another man to the movies. Quite enraged by this piece of news, the father went to his bedroom, put a .38 revolver in his pocket, and drove quickly to the local theater. There he made his way past the ticket window and tried to enter the theater. The ushers, attempt to collect his ticket were not successful, of course, but the enraged husband mentioned that his wife was in the theater with another man, that he was going in for the express purpose of shooting him. Fortunately, the usher acted quickly and notified the manager, and he in turn had the house light switched on and shouted excitedly through the public address system, if there's a man in here with someone else's wife, he'd better make his exit fast, for the husband has arrived with a loaded pistol. Well, the announcement caused quite a stir in the theater, according to the story, and 17 couples rushed for the exits. Now, you ask yourself, how can I avoid the sinister shadow of divorce and trouble from striking my home and blighting the lives of my loved ones? Well, friends, recognize, first of all, that home, marriage, and family are the gifts of God and something which is high and noble and, above all, sacred. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a help meet for him. Genesis 2:18. Now, this statement would apply to all mankind, not just to the male sex, of course. But fortunately, we've come to the place where some specialists assert it's dreadful for a woman to spend her life first as somebody's daughter, then as somebody's wife, and finally as somebody's mother. This authority states that the self-sacrificial, Madonna-like role is unnecessary, and claims that the next 30 years will change the current roles that women play in our society. There are also some men who prefer the solitary life, but the Word of God still states it is not good for man to be alone. The Creator followed through to meet the problem. In Genesis 2:22, we read this, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, a well-known Christian writer points out that a rib was taken from Adam's side for the purpose of creating a helpmate for him. It was not taken from his feet to be trampled on, nor from his head that the partner might dominate and rule over her, but from nearest his heart, that they might stand side by side as equals and to complement each other. Marriage, home, and family, then, is a sacred link with the Garden of Eden and with the Creator himself, comparable with a weekly Sabbath day. In fact, there are two institutions that have come to us from the perfect world of Eden, holy matrimony and the holy Sabbath. Both are being trampled underfoot today, and both must be restored. Marriage, which was acclaimed to be a harbor in the storm of life, has too often in modern times become a storm in the harbor of life. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 7:39 that a widow woman is, quote, at liberty to marry whom she will only in the Lord. And one modern Christian writer comments, it's only in Christ that a marriage contract may be safely formed. And Paul further counseled the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, friends, these facts underline the principle that is to bear the test of time, a union that will have a spiritual as well as a physical basis. To be united before God is even more important than to be united before men. If you would have a home from which the shadows are never lifted, you marry an unbeliever. A common faith and a family altar will be a strong bulwark around which a Christian home can be formed even in this modern society. Well, somebody might say the advice has come too late. I certainly wish I had married in the Lord, but I decided a long time ago before I became a Christian. And my husband or wife does not share my faith. We don't see eye to eye on religion. I go to church, my partner goes to the golf course. I want to study the Bible, my partner wants to watch television. I'd love to establish a family altar for the sake of the children, but my partner doesn't want them to be brought up as Christians even. Now, friends, with parents divided on religious and moral issues, the environment is very bewildering for the children. It seems an impossibility to change the partner's attitude. What should be done? What does God expect of us? I believe the Bible answer to those questions is found in 1 Corinthians 7, 10-13. And unto the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from the husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Now it would be a good thing for all to realize that in the history of this world there has been only one perfect marriage. And this marriage was arranged by God and performed by God between two perfect partners fresh from the Creator's hand. It didn't last, though, friends. Since sin entered into our world, a perfect marriage has been impossible for the simple reason that there's never been two perfect mates to enter into a marriage contract. So it's too much to expect perfection, but all should sincerely strive for more warmth and happiness and kindness and joy in the marriage relationship. A happy, balanced, and wonderful marriage is the basis of all decent society. It can become the foundation not only of happiness and joy, but also of spiritual progress and development for those who love God and each other. It's easy for a person to pretend to be something if he can stay away from people and just appear at a convenient time when he's feeling really good. But a man must be with his wife all the time, and a wife must be with her husband all the time. They know each other's faults, mistakes, and habits. And this calls for a large amount of tolerance and patience and kindness and love, quite apart from any romantic feelings and associations. Well, our time has slipped away, friends, but I would like for you to have our folder D entitled, Has Holy Wedlock Become Unholy Deadlock? It's free for the asking, so write for it today. And by the way, be sure to give the call letters of the station you're listening to also when you write. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.